Okay, so sankharas, basically formation constructions, and how do you pronounce sankhara correctly? That's the right way, sankhara. Okay, just be careful. You never quite know. It has a number of kind of qualities, associations associated with it. It also has association of something compounded, constructed, made from things into some sort of form. And in the wheel of life, you know, the paticchasamuppada, the image is of a potter with a pot. So it's quite a nice image of construction, formation. And it's really the karmic patterns that affect us, through which we see the world and ourselves, through which the world looks like a world as we recognize it. A tree is a tree, a this is a this, a this is that, a me is a me. All of that being constructed constantly. In every moment, the world is reconstructed and constructed based on the pressure of karma. The pressure of what was constructs the present moment looking pretty well exactly like what was the moment before. Just looks like it and feels like it, and it's like we just keep reconstructing the present based on the blueprint, the tavnit of the previous moment. And we keep doing it. The construction is endless, and it's been going on since the beginning of time. We notice it especially in our tendencies. Tavniyot is the way we see it most easily, and often sankharas is equal to our tavniyot mentaliyot, is often described as our mental tendencies, patterns. And so it's often associated with thought, papancha, constructions in the mind, da-da-da-da-da-da, goes round and round, habits of mind, things that we regard as painful, all mental concepts, mental landscape, all sort of constructed as sankharas based on karma. And because they're based on karma, karma being the force of habit, or the force of the pressure of reconstructing the world in the same model as we see it, it has in it also will, ratzon, volition. So they're called English translation of the Pali words, it's sometimes called volitional formations, which I don't know how they managed to construct sankharas of such difficult English, of old-fashioned English, that's constructions. But why, bhikkhus, do you call them volitional formations? Volition is will, or ratzon, or intention, hitkavnut. And volition is something we want. And so it's intention. We build these formations because we have intention. They construct the conditioned bhikkhus, therefore they are called volitional formations. The conditioned. So because we grow up from a baby to see the world in a certain way, that world is the conditioned. The conditioning we have, hatnaya, that we've had since a baby, makes the world what we think it is. And the world is conditioned. And it looks like it is because it's conditioned. We learnt it. We learnt a tree is a tree. Like my favourite example is, my favourite book as a child was Mowgli. And I had an old...
Mowgli.
The Jungle Book. And I have a very old Victorian or Edwardian edition. I still have it. It's lovely, and I kind of, one of my big kind of revelations when I was, I don't know, 8, 9 years old, was the fact that if Mowgli was brought up by wolves, he thinks and acts like a wolf. And for him, the world is a wolf world, although his body is a body of a human being. Which means that I, brought up in North London by human beings, not wolves, see a human being world like North London kids would see. And it, therefore, they start, it's all stum. And I realized that quite young. It's totally, this book told me, it's all stum. Stum, in Hebrew. It means it's all, it has no, there's nothing that needs to be like that. It all happens to be like that. It has no necessity to be like that. Therefore, it's kind of my first whisper of the understanding of karma, that it just, there's no creator that says, it has to be like this. It happens to be like that because that's the habit that made it. So a wolf boy thinks he's a wolf, and a baby ant thinks it's an ant, and a Stephen thinks it's a Stephen, and there's nothing, there's no basis to it all. It just happens, it's just a flow of conditioning. So conditioning is the construction from volitional formations, from will that constructs, that we need to construct the world. We need to construct the world, that's our ignorance. That's the avidya, the ignorance. We keep needing to make a construction in the world based on insecurity, fear of the self. We can't live without a construction. And so as from a child onwards, we're making the world like we need to know. The world is like that, the world like that, and then like that, and like that, like that. And because it's a construction and a conditioning, it's also a group construction. The world is absolutely a group construction. It's a consensus. So the conditioning is also individual, it's a consensus. Twice yesterday, in the morning, there was a meeting at Israel's house, Israel's tent, and one of the participants in this meeting, which is, we have a sort of non-dual group that sits every couple of weeks, and one person came in, it was Yom HaShoah, really boiling, and about the Shoah and so on, very much dual, not definitely not non-dual, and we left it and so on, and he came in the evening and said, I'm really sorry, I was as if I've never learned any Dharma, as if I'm back to square one. I got caught in this strong thing that happened 60 years ago. It's not now, it's in my mind, and it caught me and it took me out of all my spiritual, it's out of Dharma and so on. I feel like I've gone back to square one. And exactly the same second after that, another woman came, this is in the evening class in Kabri, another woman came and said the same thing, because she said she's happy when she heard that Osama bin Laden had been killed, and she said, well, look, I'm a Dharma student and I'm happy that someone's killed, what's the matter with me? I've gone back to Kita Aleph, I wish I've never done a retreat, it's like I'm gone back to zero, I'm so angry with myself. And both of them, these people said, I'm so angry with myself. I said to both of them the same thing. Firstly, if you look at yourself now and 10 years ago, say, you are in a different place. And secondly, don't forget the power of this group conditioning. The power, the intensity of this message called the Shoah as an icon, the Holocaust as an icon that has to be right in front of us morning, noon and night from the age when we went to school. And it's made into a national icon and a global icon and a sort of huge, huge construction. It's just a construction. And the same with this, Osama bin Laden, he's the devil, like given this status of a demon. And everyone must rejoice now. And it's a construction. So just a small example of the group construction, the power of it is intense. Huge. The power of the group. But it's a construction. It's group sankhara creating conditioning. So it's a couple of examples. And what is the condition that volitional formations construct? They construct conditioned form as form. Form as form. 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 Body. Form. Feeling as feeling. Vedana. I like, I don't like. We all know ice cream is delightful. None of us want to be a dog that whose ice cream seems to be the chara of other dogs and sniffs and delights in smell of other dog's khaki. So none of us are in that conditioning, but the dog is. So we like ice cream and not... So feeling, vedana, they construct... The conditions of volitional formation, sankharas, construct perception, conditioned perception as perception. We know what a tree, we know red is red and blue is blue, and the perceptions coming through the senses, we all, they are conditioned. And they construct sankharas as sankharas and consciousness as consciousness. And later on in this same... in the same sutta, I don't have it here, but the Buddha talks about being devoured by these sankharas. It's a very strong image. We are devoured, meaning we are eaten. We are so much inside them, they eat us. The constructions eat us up. So they lead to a lot of papancha. So include papancha in sankharas. Include mental constructions that go round and round. The dialogue, the stream of consciousness, which constant narrative, which is renewing itself again and again and again. It's interesting that I think I talked about this before. This scientist Rafi Malach. Maybe I think I started to talk about it and then said I'd leave it to this week. Well, we had a one-day Yom Iyun, run by the Merkaz Ben Tchumi, of brain scientists talking to Dharma people. And that was the talk. I sent you this slide. So that's what I gave in this meeting. But the partner I had, Professor Rafi Malach from Weizmann, he discovered a very interesting thing, which is he really discovered sankharas. They didn't call them that. I call them that in my talk. But what he discovered was that the brain, the neurons, the brain cells, are constantly reconstructing in background, they're reconstructing the whole world. They are neurons that know, because of the pattern between them, connection between them. Don't forget that there are more connections between neurons in the brain than there are stars in the sky. They, in these net of neurons, there is one net or few nets that say tree, that it knows tree, so that when we go to a tree we recognize it's a tree. Why? Because we've got it built in already. Sankhara is built. How is it built? It's built as a dynamic process. The brain is reconstructing hundreds of models of trees of different kinds all the time in background. How? Bereka. We don't know it's happening. It's when our eyes are closed and when we're relaxed. It's still happening. We don't see any tree. We're not in, with no senses going in. It's happening all the time.
It's a whole forest.
Yeah, it's a whole forest, yeah. Absolutely. And then when we see tree, the brain checks in its library tree-ness and adjusts it according to what we see. So fits the tree that we see into the pre-existing tree-making construction that's going on all the time. And he discovered it scientifically through looking at the neurons themselves, and wrote many papers which you impossible to understand. But
that's also if we see a situation, we read it to be as close to what we have in mind.
We fit it to what we have in mind. That also controls us. Yeah, exactly. It also controls us. If we see something that doesn't look really tree-like, still, because we've got the trees in the background, it keeps saying, that's a tree. That's that famous example in one of the most ancient sort of Hindu examples of this is the snake and the rope. That we see a snake going to a little dark room, and we see something coiled there, especially if you're Indian and you've got a cobra in your mind, you've got plenty of sankharas in the back of your mind called cobra, and there you'll see a sort of rope and you'll immediately say cobra, because that's a strong sankhara, and it's not cobra at all, it's a rope, but you didn't really look, you just compared it to what was in the sankhara that you're constructed, because you're constructed from fear. So in some way or other, the world is engraved, charut, in us. And Dafka, it's interesting because in the Kabbalah, in the Zohar, that's how the Zohar starts off. God created the world by engraving it. The whole world is engraved. It's charut, charut, and that is the world. It's an interesting, and all through the Zohar, it's about. It gives the same expression. The world is a construction, charut, and in a sense, engraved in memory. I think a scientific word for this would be imprinting. And I don't know what in Hebrew. Can you say in Hebrew imprinting? Mutba. Memory and so on. And what it does is it creates a world, this construction, this karma, this pressure of karma, this reconstruction makes a world full of things. It makes a world full of things, and the biggest thing is us, me. And it constructs this world of things that we identify. We say, this is me, this is someone, this is other, this is... And we cling to the things, we need the things. And that is the source of dukkha. That's the source of dukkha, is because we made things in the world that we need them, we want them, we want them to be a thing. We want ourselves to be a thing. We don't want ourselves to disappear or to be dissolved. We want other to know that the world is like this, that a tree stays a tree. And a person, Adam, you don't suddenly turn into Sarit. We need to know that you're existing and you need to know more than anybody else that you're going to be like that tomorrow. And not wake up to be Sarit either. Much as you'd love to be Sarit. But it would be quite an... You'd probably immediately sign yourself into a mental hospital. Ken.
שהוא נוצר, זאת אומרת, זה כבר עולם שאין בו ריק, שיש בו את האפטיט שסמפדה, ויש את התנועה הזאת של ה... או יש את היצירה הזאת של הסנקרות. ואני מרגישה שבגלל שזה משהו שהוא כל כך ראשוני, ואני כל כך מזדהה איתו, קשה לי כמו להבין על איזה מרחב זה יושב. זאת אומרת, מה זה המרחב הראשוני הזה שבו אין סנקרות? או מה זה, כאילו מה זה בראשית היה? מה יש שם עוד לפני?
על מה הוא פרק את זה?
אוקיי.
כאילו כמובן ש... אתה יודע, זה...
בדיוק. But it's not... It's not quite that, actually. No, Sarit's question is not entirely the illegitimate question. The illegitimate question is an ontological or ontogeny.
Not necessarily.
The illegitimate is ontogeny.
Like asking who craves. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about cravings, the woman is who craves. It's illegitimate craving. It's not only ontological, it's also something that looks for the origin.
The origin.
Beginning. He said there is a beginning.
So yeah, ontogeny is maybe the word I was looking for. The beginning of things, it's the Buddha said, actually he did say, it's all lost in the beginning of time. You know, it's all, this is not a legitimate question because it's basically unanswerable, it just confuses the mind and makes papancha. Rega, but there is part of your question which is can legitimate very much, which is what does it all rest on? Where does, and that's the enlightenment, that's the truth of Dharma. The Dharma truth says, wait a minute, this whole construction is like a dream. And it rests on non-dream. So what's non-dream? So I'll come to it, talk about it. So I think your question, you had two, there were two. Non-dream is no construction. And that's what the construction rests on. The two are in relationship. We go and we talked about it all the time. Form and emptiness, emptiness and form. They are in relationship. Construction comes out of emptiness, and emptiness comes out it comes from a construction, or emptiness builds construction. They're in relationship. And we'll talk about that. Anyway, the take-home message from this is that we are needed to make a volitional act, an act of will to determine things, to make a world of things. Needs us to will it, to be interested to do that. On the basis of the non-things, we have a will, we have a basically survival mind that comes along and says, I want to build a world. Karma has, the stream of karma since the beginning of time, God knows, it needs us to determine, to decide, to keep doing it. For example, a country. Where's a country? Where's a country? What's a country? It needs us to work pretty hard. Borders, a colour on the map, language, identification, I'm Israeli. Where are you Israeli? Where are you not Israeli? Where are you English? Here. Where are we? Where's an Englishman? Where's an Israeli? You know, you have to work hard at it to make these constructions. Where's a country? Where's a... I don't know what. Where's a... piece of where rock and non-rock and
אני רוצה להפריך את זה, כשאתה מדבר על וויל, זה נשמע שאתה לא מדבר על אני רוצה לקרב את זה, אלא כמו איזושהי תנועה מובנית בטבע. זאת אומרת, הטבע הזה של דברים שזזים קדימה, או ש...
כן, אבל תמיד יש התכוונות בזה. תמיד יש, אפילו קל, אפילו זה ההתכוונויות, הן אוטומטיות כבר. לא מזהה שיש, I don't recognize that there is in me a will to be Stephen. I don't recognize it as a will. Doesn't feel like I want to be, to have now a holiday. It doesn't feel like that, but there is nevertheless a volition, a will. Like, I don't want to disappear into be a non-Stephen. So there's a will in there, in a deeper level, which we don't recognize unconsciously, but it's still there. We are aligning ourselves, we align ourselves to the what we want, what we don't want, we are aligning, but it doesn't feel sometimes like a very strong will. but it's nevertheless we're all the time like this. According to it's volitional, it has an we have an interest.
Is it vedana?
No, vedana is the act of attraction repulsion. It's the liking not liking. The will is intention is in sankara.
It's אבל זה גם אצל תינוק בעצם
נכון נכון זה מתחיל זה מעל התינוק זה בכל הזרם של בני אדם וכל חיים וכל יצורים וזה לא we didn't invent it millions of generations before it started from the first life this will this volition it's not the we're the end product which is why it's so difficult to break through it because it's taken thousands and thousands of lives to actually get to this situation it's not just us suddenly inventing it there's a will there that's passing through generation after generation making karma making things to be like that we like they are like we think they are constructions things trees so on whatever they are
can I say talk about the will נדבר עליו ברמה הפרטית וקודם דיברת על גרוף סנקרה סנקרה הפרטית ועכשיו שאלת איפה אני ישראלי
כן
אני יכול להסתכל בתוך עצמי ולראות אבל אני קודם חושב האם הסנקרה הקבוצתי הסנקרה התרבותי הסנקרה החברתי אם אני יכול to approach it באותו אופן
כן.
נראה לי קצת שונה כי אם אתה שואל אותי איפה אני ישראלי אז אני, ואני יכול גם לעשות עם עצמי לבחון איפה אני יוצר את הסנקרה ואיפה לא אבל יש כוח מאוד מאוד חזק של הבניות חברתיות ושל קונסטרקטים חברתיים ואני יכול להגיד לך איפה ישראל אני יכול, יש אינטראקציות חברתיות מסוימות, יש צבא, יש כלכלה, יש שפה, יש תרבות יש סיפורים על השואה יש שהם נמצאים והם משפיעים עליי
נכון, נכון מאוד נכון מאוד.
ואיך אני יכול לשנות או להשפיע על ה... קונסטרקטים האלה שהם מאוד 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 חזקים והאם העבודה שלי עם עצמי היא מספיק אפקטיבית זה לשנות את הקונסטרקטים החברתיים והתרבותיים אולי אני צריך להיות בתוך התרבות ובתוך הסיפור של התרבות הסיפור הפוליטי והסיפור ה...
Well, as long as you're ready in a way a bit out of it if you can watch it and say these are social constructions you're already standing back and you're not entirely absorbed in it and believing in it you need a belief and it's a huge belief and but they are the same they are the same
אבל אז אני משפיע על היחס שלי אל הבניות האלה אבל הבניות האלה מתרחשות או משפיעות על החברה שלי גם איך אני יכול לשנות את
it's another question but it's not different from it's not different from how you are with your personal constructions in your personal narrative going through your own mind you step out of them and look at things totally fresh and different and you can step out of the social constructions exactly the same way look at them fresh as unreality they are strong but just like this two stories I gave you with these two people in the that said well it's they're really strong these constructions but they still were able both of them afterwards to say wow they really caught me that's another story effect is a whole another story how much power you have if you are the Buddha you have more effect if you're not the Buddha you have less effect that's another story altogether I don't want to go into that that's you know depends on you really how much effect you have how much depends on your freedom and your power and your karma also Yeah.
זה אולי לא ברור לי נורא, אבל כאילו איזה נורא מתקשר לשכחה
נכון
לשכחה לא מפחידה ואני רואה נגיד עצמי נגיד מול המשפחה שלי אני רואה איזה נורא טובה שאני מרגישה איזשהו צורך שהם יזכרו להיות, שהם יוכלו לזהות אותי כאילו אני רוצה שאני שומרת למרות שאני כבר לא זוכרת מה היה ממש אבל כאילו יש איזשהו ניסיון לשמור על משהו כדי שהם כן ידעו שזאת אני באיזשהו אופן.
לגמרי. כן. Yeah. וזה די...
כאילו, אני
תוהה
מה
יקרה עם זה בכלל. כאילו,
אני חושב
שזה מעין
קצת מחויבות
אל הסביבה
כזה.
Mm.
שאי אפשר גם לזהות כאילו מבחוץ. ולא...
Yeah, I mean... Yes, from compassion maybe you'll want to kind of not make it too difficult for other people. Right, you'll say, okay, you can recognize me if you like. Yeah, it's okay to recognize me as Mayan and how I am, and I'll be like I am, and so on and so on. But nevertheless, you really, the way, if you're interested in liberation, then at some point you'll have to get clearer and clearer and clearer that these are constructions and not reality. These are constructions placed on reality, but not reality itself. Ze lo mamashut, ze constructions, including Mayan. So Mayan is, you recognize yourself as a construction, but then you can be happy and go out in the world. But the insight is needed. And you're right, it's a certain forgetting which creates belief in this is the world. These constructions are the world. That's a belief.
So
maybe I didn't understand you then.
אוקיי.
אני
שוכחת מה עשיתי ואיך הייתי מגיבה על דברים ומה דעתי, כאילו, ואת כל מיני דברים.
אוקיי.
אין את זה. ואז יש את השכחה, כאילו, תמיד זה מחדש או משהו. כאילו, דברים...
Yeah, it can... אני מבין עכשיו, sorry, I just didn't understand it. It can feel like that if the conceptual mind is in forgetting mode, is in the form of forgetting. If the conceptual mind stops conceiving, it can feel like the conceptual mind is forgetting. But the process of awakening is... clarity and not forgetting. So to see clearly that, as I'm going to talk about in a minute, the unconstructed or the unconditioned, it's not about forgetting, it's about seeing clearly. But I agree with you that it can feel like forgetting when you take the position of the concept, conceptual mind that just doesn't, not that interested in everything being built. And it can be a sort of turning away from it. Also, I'll talk about that in a minute. This turning away, this sense of, I don't want it anymore. This is an important movement in the Dharma. It's an important movement to bring realization, is the turning away from the belief in it. And it can sometimes feel a bit like forgetting just that. Yeah, last question, then I want to carry on, otherwise we'll...
About this turning away.
Yeah.
And especially because it is not forgetting. Because if it was just forgetting, then it could get tangled again in sankhara. So there is something there that is more stable. And that stability, I don't see how it can be different from sankhara. So some understanding is formed. But even if I call it understanding, even if I call it insight, since it is formed, since it has some stability, then it somehow is a sankhara. I don't think. Maybe I can call it a wise sankhara, a compassionate sankhara. But you see, because this is this is Theravada can speak about good sankhara, bad sankhara, but Stephen is now speaking about a completely different thing.
זה כמו להגיד כאילו שסאטי או פניה, חוכמה או מיינדפולנס, זה גם, זה קונדישן באותה צורה כמו שאתה אומר בכל דבר אחר. יש אבל... נכון, אבל כי יש רק דבר אחד שהוא unconditioned, שאתה מכוון לשם, שזה השחרור. כל השאר, אם אתה מדבר על חוכמה והכל, בעצם מתוך זה יש במשהו קונדישן, אנחנו מייצרים כאילו התניות, לפחות אני רואה את זה, אנחנו מייצרים התניות טובות במובן הזה שהן מאפשרות את הפסקת ההתניה.
Oh, I have no problem with the paradox, but just with the language, because I can accept this explanation. אני יכול לקבל את ההסבר שלך, ואז להסכים אותו, לא להסכים אותו, אבל אני מבין אותו. ואת הדרך שבה אתה מדבר, שהיא נותנת לי הרבה יותר השראה, היא נותנת לי הרבה יותר השראה מאשר הדרך הזאת שהיא יותר מובנת לי. אבל
נכון, נכון. Okay, so wait, all right, I'll talk about it as much as I can talk about it. I'll talk about it a bit in the later in the talk, but I think we do need to be to appreciate when we leave, when we do need to appreciate the process of undoing sankharas, and including forgetting. Actually, maybe you can rephrase forgetting as iyadiya, not knowing, or iyadiya then feels like more like, in a way, unconditioned. The not knowing, then yeah, the neurons sort of get lost and they say, well, I don't have nothing engraved anymore. There's nothing after charutsham. So, but I have a voice in my head of Goenka, and he's sort of he says, you know, you practice and practice and practice, and in the end you get to deep-seated sankharas. And Vimit, there's a truth in that, that there's some, that many sankharas are really deep in us, and in all for all practical purposes they do stay with us, and sometimes the wisdom is another form of sankhara, looks like another understanding is another form of sankhara, but it's still, we feel much freer. Yep. And then there is somewhere the unconditioned standing behind all of that, and that breaks everything to pieces, and so it's a deconstruction, and the deconstruction can take many forms. I'll talk about it in a minute. So next I want to talk really about dukkha, because suffering, dukkha, obviously there's ordinary dukkha of pain and discomfort and disease and so on, but some of the most fundamental dukkha is sankhara dukkha, which is the dukkha of being in a conditioned world. And the conditioned world brings objects, things, and we don't want them to go, including our life, birth and death, things that we want to hold on to. And they look, it feels like the birth and death is happening. We think things are made and then they disappear, and things are made and they disappear, and we get upset with birth and death. And the conditioned world, somewhere or other, is very difficult for us to be totally contented, totally at peace, totally, you know, shviyot ratzon, is it? Contentment in a conditioned world where everything is needing to be, and we need to be. And it gives us no rest in a way. So the fact of conditioning, hatnaya, that we're constructed, is already bringing us pain. And things, we want to hold on to things, but they go. And we don't want them to go. We want a tree to stay a tree. We want a me to stay a me. We don't want things to go. They go and they change, and that gives us pain. The change that they go, they go and they change because they aren't intrinsically real in the first place, and that's the unconstructed. They're not really real in an absolute sense. They are our dream. So when our dream changes, we hang on, we don't like it. But actually, the dream changes because everything is changing. There isn't anything there. That really, the constructions are our constructions. We made them. So then they change and we get upset with them. But they change only because they're not really there in the first place. They're not really there as things. They're as engravings in our brain. The way we see the universe is engraved.
Watch it.
I'm disturbed.
Yeah, let me carry on a little bit. It's all based on our need for existence, and that's the dukkha, our need for survival, our need to be, our need to, we want to be, we need this, we need that, we need to be. And this passion, and that's where this passion to be is driving the whole machine, is driving karma, is driving the whole story, driving samsara, the wanting to be, that really gives us no rest. The want, and it's not, as I say, it's the wanting to be inherent in life. In every ant, every chaydak is wanting to be. And this wanting to be makes this whole chain happen. So, and it's not reality. It's all our projections. So I want to talk a little bit about our practice now. What we do with this. The practice is gradually to eat away at the constructions by deconstruction. How do we deconstruct? Including the social constructions. Deconstruct by seeing that things are transient, passing, and have no owner. No one in charge, no one owning. This body, where's the owner? This thing, where's the owner? No one owning. There's no, that means anatta, no self that's in there, in each thing, kind of owning it, being in charge. There's no, we can't find a self. So we observe these tendencies, we observe the construction. We did it just now in the meditation. We have a construction like judgmental thought. It's a construction, bikuritiyut. We observe it as having no owner, no reason. It's just stuck there like a kartsiya. It's stuck there because of what happened before. It's stuck there because of our need to survive. It's stuck there because of patterns and permission we gave it, and because we identified with it. So the practice is just to see it, to be as ownerless, as not me and mine, just like all the aggregates. It's not mine, this judgmental thought. It's come from karma, from habit, from pattern. It's just a pattern that repeats itself again and again. It's not mine. Don't have to be a boss of it. Same with being an Israeli. Your comment. It's not mine. It's not, where is it? It's not real. It's a dream. It's just coming and going. People all decided they want to be Israeli. It didn't happen 100 years ago. It happened today, because there wasn't an Israel 100 years ago. So now, Israeli flag, it looks so real. But it's just, just stepping out of that dream is the practice. And calming also. Calming down, because the mind needs to be calm, and this is where the calm is important, the quiet, the inner quiet, calming down the tendency to build all the time more constructions. So not only do we need to see through and deconstruct them, we also have to, in a sense, calm down a little bit and not go into the magalim, the proliferation. And slowly, slowly, we see things is as dharma, and we lose our dependence. We're not dependent on, like, think of the Israeli model. Someone who is dependent on this construction, I am an Israeli, klut, he needs it. I was listening to two people outside the bank a couple of days ago. And in Nahariya, two people, they could hardly speak any Hebrew. They were both Gruzini or Russian, I think, or Georgian. And they were so busy saying, we, the Israelis, they were kind of, but they couldn't speak the language. Even I spoke better Hebrew than them. And I was listening to them, and they were like, took on the clothes of being somehow Israeli. They probably just recently immigrated, but they're kind of really into it. And I sort of saw that construction happening, and so strong, and their dependence on it. because we're insecure beings. We want to be. Underneath we're insecure, and that makes the makes us want to be an Israeli, to be a body, to be a person, to be a Stephen, to know what a tree is, to know where Kupat Cholim is, to know, you know, we need to know how to eat and get money in the bank, and we have to. It's this sense, this driven quality of dependence. And slowly, slowly, if we take the view of it's not a real, it's a dream, because we see it's happening, coming and going, we see it's construction, that's I'm doing it, we see again and again it doesn't need me, it just keeps coming by itself, I'm not owning it. Slowly, slowly, that we build a Dhamma view, the view of Dhamma, of Dharma. This is something that builds slowly, slowly. It's not in thought. It's not a thought that these things don't really exist. It's a view, something, a very deep understanding, and it's a view of much more that looks like everything is interrelated. As Thich Nhat Hanh says all the time, you know, there isn't a bell here. The bell needs the whole universe to make this bell. If this bell requires the whole universe to be as it is, for this bell to be as it is. It's, everything is interrelated. There isn't these things. It's just a web of relationship and conditions. So conditions create this body, but this body is a condition for the next moment, and the next moment is a condition for the next moment. So it's all really moving conditions. There's no things, and that's the view of Dhamma. There's no things that you can say this is fixed and it's separate from other things. Everything is building, it's changing, constructing the next, and conditioning the next. So really, it's all moving, a set of conditions. I brought with me a story, which I think I mentioned it before, but it's just very nice, so I'm going to say it again, about the way we do this. This is in one of the suttas, the way we understand this, or the way we practice it. Suppose there were a king who had never heard the sound of a lute, oud. The oud before. He might hear the sound of the oud, of the lute, and say, "What, my good men, is that sound? It's so delightful, it's so tempting, it's so intoxicating, it's so thrilling." And they would say, "That, sir, is called a lute, whose sound is so delightful, so compelling, so intoxicating, so thrilling." Then he would say, "Oh, go and fetch me the lute." They would fetch the lute and say, "Here is the lute whose sound is so delightful, so tempting, so intoxicating, so thrilling." He would say, "Oh, I don't want your lute. Enough of the lute. Fetch me just the sound. I want the sound." Then they would say, "Sir, this lute is made of numerous components, a great many components. It is through the activity of numerous components that it makes the sound. Depending on the body of the lute, the skin, the neck, the frame, the strings, the bridge, the human playing it, and the effort of the human. So it is that this lute, made of so many components, sounds through the activity of numerous components." And then the king would split the lute into 10 pieces, into 100 pieces. And having split it into 10 or 100 pieces, he would shave it to splinters. And having shaved it to splinters, he would burn it in a fire. And having burned it in a fire, he would reduce it to ashes. And having reduced it to ashes, he would winnow it before, throw it up in a high wind, or let it be washed away by a swift flowing stream. And he would then say, "This is a sorry thing, this lute." Whatever a lute is, anyway. "By which people have been so completely tricked and deceived." And in the same way, a monk investigates form. However far form may go, he investigates feeling, perception, fabrications, consciousness. However far consciousness may go, it goes to the end of consciousness, the end of sankharas. It goes as far as it can go. And as, however far it goes, any thoughts of me or mine or I am do no longer occur to him. So it, the king is us, and the, we are practicing with this thing called lute that looks like a thing and feels like a thing. I want to find the lute, the ode, that actually wants the sound. And then, you know, he takes it all to pieces. And that's how we practice. This is a story about practice. We practice like the king with the lute, looking for where's the source of this construction, taking everything to pieces, and we realize we're totally tricked and deceived. It's all a dream. It's all a trick. This body called Stephen, this, you know, all this construction is kind of not real. And just like the king with the lute, because it's made of numerous components. It's
the
dependent
sound
on.
It's beautiful and real. Yeah. Our sound is compelling and beautiful.
That's right. And it's very tempting. And that's why we do it. Because the passion for being, life is very tempting. It's exactly like the lute. We really want to live. We want life. So that's where how it all starts. We love it. It's very exactly those language. It's delightful. It's thrilling. It's compelling. We need it. We want it. Want to be alive. Want to have babies. Want to da da da. There is this. There's another way of being. There's simply another way of being. If you don't want it, go home. We are captivated by life. It's enchantment. That's all. It's a kind of enchantment. And we are thrilled to be alive, and we want to be alive, and we need to be alive, and and it's this that makes us construct the lute. Doesn't mean to say that that liberation doesn't bring a greater joy, peace, contentment. Maybe it does. It's up to you. But
can we build the lute without putting, without getting too much attached to it? אני חושבת שנבנה, כאילו אם יכול עדיין להיבנות ופחות להאמין שזה אמיתי, שזה
כן.
סוליד.
כן, כן, okay. שוב, בוודאי. Of course you can. And by the way, here, he could have said the same story with something horrible, not just the lute he said was attractive and so on and so on, but the same story could have been, as I say, with a, don't know what, pile of dog shit. Horrible, unpleasant, da 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 da, and then pushing it away and then deconstructing it. It's not that especially it's delightful. It's delightful, it's just an example of greed. Greed, hate, and delusion are the three poisons, right? So this is just an example of his relationship to the lute as greed. Could have been hate, it could have been delusion. Same.
Yeah,
כן.
אני לא בטוח שאתה לענות עליה, אבל אני חושבת בהקשר של מה שאביב אמר והתשובה של קרן, אם זה היה בשפה קצת פחות תרוואלית, היה אפשר להגיע, כאילו אם זה היה יותר מונג'ול אבזורפשן, כאילו זה היה יכול להיות דרך בלי לפרק את האוד, כאילו להוציא את הצליל מהעסק פשוט, לא? כאילו לזהות אותו כלא מותנה בשום דבר מסוים, או
בהכל.
כאילו לפרק את זה בלי לפרק החלקים, פשוט להוציא את העוקץ.
כן, ולא. Yes, you're right, I think. But, and this is Theravadan in the sense of deconstruction, but I don't really know any non-dual teachers who also don't deconstruct the world, who actually say the same thing. Like Dzogchen doesn't say believe in the world.
No, that's not the...
That's the thing that they...
לפרק את זה ברמה שלא להאמין שזה שייך. כאילו לא להאמין בכל ההסתת חבילה הזאת, אבל בלי ה...
כן, maybe it is quite Theravada and the process of taking it to pieces as practice. This is the loot story is practice.
Okay.
Yeah, it is quite Theravadan. You're right. Yeah. It's because Theravada, but also not only Theravada, the whole of Buddhists, because Dzogchen is way up there as a sort of special, you know, the cream on the cake is kind of not the cake. The cake is also the Tibetans work very, very hard on deconstruction, just like this, with all kinds of visualizations and, you know, work with energies and so on. So it is Buddhist, but the Theravadins do get into it quite a lot, which is this method, namely taking things to pieces, because I think especially because the radical thing of the Dharma at the time when the teaching was Advaita Vedanta, the radical thing of the Buddhist teaching was the concentrated, constant focus on conditionality. That the insight to liberation is through understanding of the Hatnaya. And in that sense, you're right, I think it's a single mind, the whole thing is non-clinging, watching everything as conditioned and unconditioned. It's the very much the Buddha's insight and devotion to that as a way.
But you can also look at the story of that is looking for the sound as an essence of this thing.
Right.
Like there is something that you constructed, comes from all the parts, and somebody is kind of playing it, and then there is, and he wants that.
Yes.
It's like looking for the self. I more like that than the, and then he said, where is that? He just like open it, and
that's right.
In the end, it's empty. So the deconstruction is just to see the emptiness of the thing, because there isn't anything. There is skin and somebody's back. There is no ownership, like you said.
Yeah, that's right.
We keep talking just about an emptiness without the form on the other hand. I mean, all the pieces were put together in a certain way, in a lute way, to make a sound without, I mean.
Yeah.
It's
a relation. So, just before I finish, I just want to mention a couple of movements which are in the, shall we say, which are in the track of someone that's really serious about practice. One of the things that tends to happen at some point is this turning away. Is the and I think you can all feel it. It's not something maybe very exotic, but a sense of, in the tradition, it's disgust and
disenchantment,
but also disgust. It's also many, many words that say disgust or ichsa. I don't want it anymore. And we actually, if you look at it psychologically, as our psychological sankharas, we do experience it. How many of us, all of us, I think, have sat through retreats and think, oh my God, this mind of mine, again judgment thought, again, leave me alone, I want to get out of there, you know, just leave me alone, this constant banging like a hammer in my head of these patterns that keep going. And I had it with planning. In my retreats, planning mind. Oh my God! It was like I was ready to. If I could, someone could take a knife and cut out the brain ta'e engravings harut plant called planning. I would have been happy to get someone to cut them out with a knife. I was so I can't bear it anymore. Again and again. So we do have that experience of turning away. Mostly, we have it turning away from our mental constructions. Oh, I can't take it anymore. But we're invited in the Dharma practice to turn away from all constructions, including, for example, the self, especially the self. And here we also, maybe we can feel, I can't take this subjective me all the time, you know, I'm the center of things, I can't take it, just shut up. Kind of that sense of turning away in a very deep sense from all constructions, from a whole construct, because it's just not satisfying. It's putting us in prison. It's like the process is a bit like a child playing in a kufsat agaz ho sandbox. Like all construction, we don't know it's sandbox. It's inside the construction. The world looks like that. I'm an Israeli, you know, whatever it is. And we don't even know that there's an end to this box. Slowly, next stage might be that we see that there's an end, that it's just a constructed thing, and there's something outside the box. And we see that it has walls, and we want to get out. So we have a kind of longing, or a kmeha, or a desire for release. Still a sankhara, by the way, but a desire, in a way, for a more positive desire for release. Rather than desire for security. And so we go out of the Buddha's castle, we have desire for freedom. And then we practice with the knowing of the construction and the deconstruction and the end of construction and break the loot to pieces. That's how we see the wall. We practice with the knowing of all this. We're in a sandbox and there's the end of it, and we are and we just become aware. And slowly, slowly, we find ourselves out of the box. We can be out of the box. That it is possible to be out. We just step out. The door is open. And another stage is understanding that we made the box. The box doesn't exist in the world. It's us that we make the box. So there's perhaps, you know, with an image that makes us understand a little bit the process here. We realize we made it all. So the box is sitting in us. We think it's out there, we think we're playing in the box, it's already constructed, but we constructed ourselves. So more or less that's what I want to say. One final point. Matsegech I sent around, there was a picture of the cave of Aplaton, you probably remember it. I think that there is a point there, which is that the sankharas, the constructions, to work with the constructions is relatively easy. It's a good place to work. This movement from not knowing, or should we say ignorance, rather not knowing, avidya, allowing us to believe in the constructions, including Stephen or Adam or the world, and creating pain and suffering because of that. It's very clear. It's very obvious. And therefore it's a place that we can work. Some other places not so easy to work in terms of our practice, but the sankhara is a place we can work. We can see the constructions and then the deconstruction. We can see them the way we make the constructions. We can see we are dependent on them and how it feels like when we get less dependent on them and they're less conditioned. We begin to see. We can even read Thich Nhat Hanh and sort of get a vision without hardly any practice at all of a world of interrelations that is unconstructed. We even with thought just read a book. We can get a sense of it because we do have it. We do know it. And it's answered to you, Sarit. There is something in us that already knows the unconstructed. Somewhere or other, we have in us an unconstructed place, and we have hints all the time of the third noble truth, the awakened mind, and it's not a sort of forbidden territory. The construction is coming out of there. It's form and emptiness, emptiness and form, they were in relation. So that the constructions are being constructed out of something more infinite and a lot more free. And so by observing this process of construction arising out of, or constructions just simply arising, and the pain involved in that, and the dukkha of construction, and the turning away from it, is a good place to work. And a lot of our practice is around there, sankharas. Easier to work with than the other aggregates, such as perception or consciousness that we'll talk about next week. Sankharas are quite, because they're formed and they need volition and they need will and they're having them insecurity and we have to keep building them and so the addiction to building the construction. So it's kind of a good place for us to practice. All right, let's take a moment of just quietness to absorb